The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Let me get there. I don't know if you have your Bibles this morning. If you don't have one, I believe we have lenders around here somewhere. We're glad to let you use those. It says this, Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his maidservant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your commandments, the law we are to live by. Help us, God, to stand in them, walk in them, and be obedient to you. Thank you for the great things you're doing here in Remnant and through Remnant, God. Continue to bless us with your presence, your word. Help us to rightly divide it. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. And get our attention, open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to your word right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we are at the last closing of the Ten Commandments. Here is the people of Israel at the base of the mountain. All these Israelites. And Moses is up there talking with God. And this is the last commandment that God gave to his people. And it's funny that when God rescued all the Israelites out of Egypt, he brought them to this massive area of land. They had property galore to pick from. And God is looking down, and they all got their pick, they all got their property, their animals and their families and their places. But they still had issues and situations in their lives before God. They still wanted more. That's why God threw in this last commandment on coveting. Covet is a word probably some of you have never heard or have heard. Or we just kind of put it aside. In the American language, it's like a translation of lusting or greed. It's a branch from it. Or wanting something that's not yours. How many of you, if you can raise your hand, have used the word covet in your sentencing or in your speaking? Okay, one. I used it the other day at work, and I used it this morning. But it's a word that's been lost. It sounds funny. It's different. It comes from the Hebrew language, of course, because it's in the Old Testament. It's an important word, and God placed that there for a reason. See, God laid down some laws. You see, the Ten Commandments is God's character. Who God is he's a graceful God. He laid down the law to show his character, but God is a God of grace. That's who he is. God is a graceful God, and the Ten Commandments are a character of who God is. So we are to be the image of who, he said, of him. So we are to walk in these commandments and work on them. Perfect, we're not. We're going to struggle. And I have a lot of verses this morning. I hope we can get through them quickly. See, the sixth and seventh and eighth commandment apply to not hurting people with our actions. That's what was talked about in these past few Sundays. The commandment number nine had to do with our words we were using by hurting people. See, these Israelites were doing all this as well, and it applies. I like what Jerry said this morning. It comes to our backyard. It's in our home. We need to go over these again. We need to be remembered, rememorize what God would tell us today. And this 10th commandment has to do with our thoughts, because here's these Israelites, and they have all this territory, and here's Frank the Israelite looking at the neighbors. Wow, he got more land than me. I like that. Oh, wow, I like his house, too. By the way, his wife's pretty nice looking, too. Wow, look at his donkeys. That's a nice Hummer he's got. See, that's what they were struggling with. And today it's kind of the same scenario. And we use this term called keeping up with the Joneses, right? Our neighbor buys that car, we got to get that car. You teenagers, oh, they're wearing that clothes, we got to get that clothes. That's where it's kind of at, coveting. Nothing wrong with having things. It's what your intentions are in your heart in wanting them. See? God knows our hearts. And he knew these people were having these problems, so he laid down the law, his character. And by his grace, we can apply them and live through them. See, remember this. We're not under the law. If you're a Christian this morning, you don't live under the law of the Ten Commandments, because we have been freed by what? The blood of Jesus. He died and paid for the law. He has put away, as it says in the New Testament, the written code. He's covered it. We're Christians now. We live freely through grace, God's grace. See what I mean? They apply, but we're not under them, because that just points us to sin, to coveting. Amen? And man is covetous by nature, as his next scripture shows in Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. It says this, and he said, Jesus, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within him, out of the heart of man, from a man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder. Hello, right there, 22. Coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a person. See, by nature, it's already in us. We need to work at it, not to covet, not to want things that don't belong to us. It's right there. It's plain and simple. I found a lot of scriptures. There was more than I thought in scripture on coveting, lusting, greed, and pride and all this. It ties to coveting. And there was a lot of scriptures, but I just picked what I could, and hopefully we can squeeze them in 30 minutes. Amen? Can you keep up with me? If you're going to be writing, have your pen ready. Maybe have two if you can write with both hands. And then the Apostle Paul adds this in Romans chapter 1, 28 and 29. Look what Paul says to the Romans. And since they did not see it fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness and evil. And there it is again, covetousness, malice. They're all full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips. Ouch! What you mean? Mr. Frank called me a gossiper. Take it up with the Lord. He said it right there. See, that's another form that's in us that's branched from coveting. Amen? Another scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Write the addresses and take them home and study them. Then correct us next Sunday. This, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. In this day and era, today's generation, I see this a lot too, that ties it to coveting. Disobedient to parents. Today's generation, I've said it before and they say it all the time, they have their own point of view now, their own lifestyle, but they're forgetting God's word. There it is. We got to see it through God's word and apply it through God's word. We got to hone down on our young ones, parents, adults. As much as it's going to hurt them and us, God said it. Teach them. Fight them. They're going to be like that wild horse at the rodeo. They don't want to get ridden, but God will work on them. Maybe not then, maybe not in a year, maybe not even in 10 years. I always remember Billy Graham. His son became a Hell's Angels bike rider for many years, and his dad, Billy Graham, never gave up praying on his son, and now he's preaching and pastoring and TV and everything. It's not going to come when you want it, but continue to pray for today's generation. A lot of you young people, you're the next remnant. The Lord has laid something in my heart I shared with Victor this morning. I'm going to pray. He's going to pray with me. I'm not going to share it with you yet because I want to see God unfold it. But next generation, be ready, young people. Something's coming for you. You're the next church. But he doesn't want you coveting. He wants a righteous, holy, faithful, praying church. Amen? And only through God's word we'll get that. Only through God's word. See, coveting is a major aspect of the human nature. We struggle with it. A few of us are more deeply ingrained than others. And James tells us in James 4, look what it says in James 4, if that is up there, please. Colossians 3:5, okay, James 4, is it there? Let's read that one. Why not? Colossians 3:5. Sorry, I'm going to give that person a hard time back there. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire. And there it is again, in covetousness, which is a form of idolatry. I like that verse. You know why? The last part of it says, and covetousness, because it's a form of idolatry. What does the first commandment say? God said, do not have no other gods before me. See, if you start coveting and wanting things and more things and greeting things and lusting things, little by little, trickling slowly, you're going to forget God. You're going to be a Christian and professing you're a Christian, working, living, going to school, professing it, but you're slowly going to trickle away because that thing's going to get in front of what God wants you to do. See, that's why he put it at the end. So the 10th commandment ties to the first commandment. It closes it all the laws in. See, God knew exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he wants to do with us and how we should live. Some of us don't like it. If you're in here, you need to take God's word for face value. Genesis to Revelation. It's in here, folks. It's not nice. Yeah, we've stepped on your toes all week, but it's not us. It's God's word. I hope it's being convicting because it convicts me. I covet too. I've struggled with coveting. And I'll share a story real quick, which doesn't go here, but I got to throw it in here so you can know that I covet too. This started a few months ago. I sold my pickup for a good amount of money, and I had all these plans and coveting in my thoughts. Hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to pay this. Well, I've had a van that belongs to my wife. It's a Nissan Quest. We've had a leak in that one of the front tires that was for about 2 years. Now, every day I was getting there for that tire. And I got this money, and I had all these plans. I'm going to get a tire, fix the van, buy this, buy that. I had all these plans. And God was saying, I got other plans. But I wasn't hearing God. I was forgetting commandment number 10. I had all these plans. So I went as far as, you know what, honey? I'm going to get new tires for the van. That leak will stop. Put the new tires in the van. The leak kept coming. Oh, really? I can beat you, God. I bought new rims. The leak kept coming. The tire was still leaking air. I'm like, I'm in a struggle here, in a battle. And I'm forgetting that I'm coveting. And you know where all this started? For the company I've been working for a year now, I drive around sometimes, do deliveries. There's two vans in Brawley just like ours with some nice chrome rims. And that's where it all started. I saw it. I saw it. That's why I called this sermon this morning, quit looking at my stuff. When you're looking at other stuff, man, you're going to lose focus. You're going to have some problems. Coveting is going to kick in slowly. See? And I saw this van, and I said, the other van, the others too. I want to be the third van with rims too, and a little different. I don't want it like theirs. I'm going to get mine different. And I sure did. But nothing worked out because they weren't my plans. They were man's plans, but God had other plans. So he had to intervene and teach me and show me, you know what, son? That money should have been for this, not for rims. Anyways, here I am. So with the leak, brand new rims, brand new tires. What's next? Well, the motor is sideways in the front. Front wheel drive. It threw out a bearing that cost almost $400 to fix. They had to take everything out. The brand new tire, the brand new rim, the drum, the brakes, all the way to the motor. I spent more than a third of all that money in doing maintenance to that van. You don't think God was trying to speak to me? And I know you struggle too. They might be different. Might not be air or tires. Could be anything. Don't covet. It'll trickle in. It'll grab you. It traps you. See, how does the Bible view coveting? We just read it right there. Put it to death. You got to put it to death. It's like a seed when you plant it. Did you know most seeds you plant in the ground, whatever's going to grow, there's more seeds in it. And when it's in the ground, the heat, the pressure of the ground and everything else, it pops open and a bunch of more seeds come out to grow. See, we got to get pressure and cornered in by God and squeeze that stuff out of us that we shouldn't be doing. And new things will grow. The trees and the plants, whatever's growing, more seeds come up and it grows. The pressures of life. God's testing us, folks. Don't give up. There's times I want to give up. There's times I do covet. I do look at things I shouldn't be looking. And it'll grab me. But that night or the next morning, I'm crying to God saying, God, forgive me. Take that from me. I don't want to covet. I'm happy. I should have left my van alone with the leak on the tire. I didn't have that many problems. I just go put air once in a while. That was a lot easier with all those 2 months of struggling I went through with new rims, tires, and a bearing. What else went out on it? It's probably the AC. It just goes on. The devil's a liar. Those who covet the goods and possessions of others make that desire a god in itself. Why? Because it places that desire to satisfy self ahead of the true in God. That's why I said that. What is the dictionary's view of coveting? Do I have that up there? The Webster's Dictionary of Coveting is this. I found it in the Webster's Dictionary. It says, to desire inordinately or without due regard for the rights of others. See, there it is. We're wanting things that aren't ours. It shouldn't be ours. Some of you work really hard for what you have. Nothing wrong with that. Just make it a righteous earning. Thank God for the things you've worked hard for. But just be happy. Don't try to go more than what you can handle. Me and my wife had that problem for many years, and I'll get into that a little later. We were doing good, and money was coming in, so we're just all the way up to getting credit. We couldn't see the light anymore. So what is my first point? What is coveting? What is coveting? Coveting is this, an excessive craving for what belongs to another. It's that simple. It's that simple. This message is short and simple, just a lot of verses. Paul defines it as such. Romans 7:7, if it's up there, look what it says. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if I had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. See, it points us to what God is telling us not to do, the law. It's in us, but we're not to practice it. We're to pray against it. Practice it. Get into God's word. Because when we're looking at other people's stuff, you're going to lose focus. The saying is so true. If you stand by the pool, you're going to get what? You're going to get wet. Amen? We all struggle. It's our nature. We were born into sin. We don't live in a perfect world, brothers and sisters. Look around. Look at 10 years ago. There's evil everywhere. We need to live for Christ. We need to honestly live for Christ. Come here and seek God. Go home and witness and tell people. Like Jerry says sometimes, you don't need words. Just live for the Lord. It's funny, this past week alone, one of my head managers and my driver, without even saying a word to them, some days went by, and they just came up to me in tears telling me their personal problems and pray for them. And I was just showing them Christ. I could have had this. I never asked for the position I'm in. God's the one that's lifting me up where I'm at. All these workers that have been there 20 years saying, gosh, Frank, you got an office, a computer. Now they gave you a truck and you have everything new. How is that? And the first thing I say is God. That's all I say is God. It's Jesus. I'm never afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be a Christian. It's a shame to say it's God. It's Jesus changing my life, strengthening my marriage, helping my children, my home, my financial life, my health. There's nothing wrong with saying, I was sick the other day and I prayed. There's a guy at work that's had a cold for 2 or 3 days, and I tell him, let me pray for you. You're sick. I showed him scriptures where Jesus would touch him and heal them. You can do it too. Just believe it. And they'll be healed. Maybe not, but just believe it. Believe it. So coveting is sin. Coveting is a root to many sins. And it's a continual tendency in almost all of us to be dissatisfied with what we already have. We always want more. Amen? Can you agree with me? Say amen, please. Amen. You agree with me? Yes, at least one. Thank God. I struggle. I want more sometimes. I'm doing really good at work. But now, last week, me and my wife sat down and said, okay, honey, now I'm going to help you. We're going to sit down and do our bills. I want to be with her and part of it and be accountable to each other to do our money with what God wants us to do. We have a sweet little home. I love our little house. It's an old wooden house on blocks. It leaks when it rains. You can probably see through the wall who's coming. I have some dogs outside, but we're happy. Sometimes there's not much to eat, but we don't care. We're Jesus Christ, man. And I always tell her this. My daughter's telling me, what are we going to eat? I go, beans and rice and Jesus Christ, girls. So sit down. Welcome. They'll leave, of course. Go buy Jack in the Box or something. But be happy with what you have. I love my home. I was complaining at once. So was my wife. Get this. I'm transparent up here. Half of my house, the front looks pretty nice. It has the wooden shingles. But no one knows this because no one goes to my backyard. It looks like the desert. There's no grass back there. The front looks nice. Anyways, the second half of my house, that side that you can't see from the street side, it has a metal sheets on it. And it gets pretty hot in my house sometimes. But it's okay. And that's where it leaks. But it's our home. We're happy. Yeah, we would like to have a nicer home, a new home. My wife, cucaracha, Rosa, kill it. One day I walked in and all three of them are in the toilet in the restroom, all with a plunger, a broom. There's a little mouse. I walked in, what, look, a little mouse. But we're happy. Perfect, we're not. We have family issues in our home. We're struggling with our teens too, like everyone else. But we got the peace. You know why? Because we don't want to covet. We're happy with what we have. Our home is the nice little house we have. I'm glad we live there. I'm real close to YFC. Jeremiah calls me, have practice, and I'm asleep. Oh, I'll be right there. Boom, I'm there. Happens all the time. I work a lot. So coveting is a root to many sins. And they can be controlled, but sometimes they'll get out of control. Coveting will bring us to nothing but problems and separate it from God. Amen? Do I have 1 Timothy up there, 6:9? What does the Bible say about this problem? There it is, look. For we brought nothing into this world, talking about my little house. It's not mine, it's God's, but we're happy there. And we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these things we'll be content. There's food in my house. There's beans and rice. I have clothes. I don't dress top of the line, but hey, this is what you get. Look at you, man. We're all cool. We're relaxed. That's nothing wrong with that. Be happy with that. I'll show you the difference real quick. Real quick. There's a desire and there's a need. Okay, it's raining outside. You got to go to work. You got to just get out there to your car. A need. Just get a raincoat, a plastic, those yellow ones that the cars and the buses can see you. That's the need. But the desire, you got to get that fancy coat with the leather, the fur inside a hood. Oh, run real fast because I don't want it to wet too much. That's the desire. See? What are we eating today? We don't have much money. We got to pay this bill, but let's go eat over here. Let's go just blow it versus let's just have beans and rice and Jesus Christ. There's a difference. See, a need and a desire. We want more. Just be happy with what you have. God will provide, man. In Scripture, birds fed people meat. He fed millions and thousands of people in the desert bread, manna. You know why he only sent flakes of manna to the Israelites? I'll tell you why. Maybe some of you Bible scholars know why, but this is my theory, my knowing of it. He just let these flakes come down. They ate enough, and then the next day more flakes. And there, he was moving on. God was providing the whole way. Imagine if he sent down a loaf. Oh, man, we're not going to move. Thank God, but we got it from here. We're just going to sit here and eat. You see? They wouldn't be moving. Don't ask more for what you can handle. Be careful what you pray for. God will give it. Give me patience. He's going to put people in your life. Woo! Like your boss, your kids, anything. Animals, if you have animals. My animals are driving crazy. They're digging holes everywhere because it's hot outside. I want to get the broom and whack them in the head. My wife loves animals and I don't. There's a difference between her and that area. She loves animals. Why do you beat them? Poor little. She calls me yesterday from work, honey. She's talking real sweet. What does she want? And I'm almost caving in. Yes, don't talk like that. Can I please bring the dogs inside? No, I said no right away. Because if I hung in there a little bit, I would have folded. No, but I'm busy. I wasn't busy. I was looking at my notes. That's bad. At work. It was slow that moment, okay? See, I'm so blessed. I'm at work in my desk with a big screen in front of me. That boss can't see me, but he knows. You know what's funny? I got to say this. My boss, a non-believer, was crazy busy yesterday. All we said, we're going to work till 5. We normally work till noon, 2 o'clock. Frank, we're going to work all day till 4 or 5. Maybe call your wife. Walks away. A few seconds, comes back in. I'm doing tickets. Walks back in. And he kind of smiles and looks down. He goes, Frank, also pray to God that we can get all the loads out. And I almost cried because he's a non-believer. But he's seeking God. I've been praying for this man since I've been there. I've been praying for men there to get saved. Because there's a lot of coveting there at work, too, for position, power. That's why these guys walk into my office and go, wow, you've only been here a year. We don't have that. There's a few guys that don't like me, but it's not me, folks. Trust me, it's Jesus. He'll bless the righteous. Don't covet, and he'll see what God can do. He can move mountains. He parted the Red Sea. He created the air you're breathing. It's his. He's a powerful God. Be satisfied with what we have. It clearly says this morning in the text, do not covet. I found this on the internet. It says this, I believe our country is in debt because of the wanting more through the unneeding spending. Look at this. America spends more serving the debt than the needs of the citizens or the community. Look at this. It pulls in $7 trillion, the United States. The public debt has increased by $5 billion each year since 2003. Doesn't stop there. Now, today, since June 2011, $15.003 trillion in debt, our country. Because we want more, and we're probably being greedy for more. Just like the Israelites, they had all this land, and they were coveting each other's territory and things. Why do they have a better car? Why do they have the better company and workers? Look at us. Don't look at what's in front of you. Look up. Get on your knees and pray. Seek God. You'll see what he can do. Amen? And get this. And through all this debt that America's in, we want to get God out of the picture? It's funny, isn't it? Take him out of the courts. Take him out of schools. You can't pray here. Send him home. He was praying for another little boy, another little girl. Guess what? Hello, that's why we're so in debt. This is the land of the free, but we took it to another level. Everything's so free now. Gays, lesbians, everything, drugs, drug lords, burning facilities down because they want money, their part, the mafia, everything, it goes on and on. Because we're taking God out of the scene. We need people that are praying. You need to be praying people, seeking God and not greed and coveting, helping others instead of taking from others. It's important to God, should be important to us. And we want to do things our own way. Look at what I found in Psalms. Is it there, sir, please? What does coveting do to us? Put it up. Put it up. Let's keep going. It will cause us to want more at whatever cost. It will cause us to want more at whatever cost. That's what coveting does. That's what it does. What's the next scripture, please? James 4, 1 through 4 says, what causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have. So you murder, you covet, and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel, you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, you do not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. See, I told my wife the other day, she has good questions, Bible questions. Why is America going through all these tragedies in the years we've passed through? Well, this is the deal. America, through prophecy, I believe, is trying to get pushed out from helping Israel. And the minute the United States stops helping Israel, guess what? It's going to get worse. God's word says, provide for his people and he will bless your land. That's why a lot of countries are attacked. And we're being attacked because we're helping the Jews. And the enemy doesn't like that. Islam, all these other religions don't live by God's truth. That's why that tragedy took place 10 years ago. A lot of it's holy and because of scripture and truth that started many thousands of years ago. It starts within us because we want more. Did you know coveting, it causes this? If you think you don't covet, do you love your brother? Is there someone you hate? That means you covet. It's a sin. If you're coveting, you do not know how to love. It's a sin. Our country is full of hate. People killing people randomly just because. Children killing their parents. They're not happy with their parents. I'm going to kill them and get new ones. Or kill them and not have any. I know what I'm doing. I'm a teenager. No, you don't. No, you don't. And most of us have to learn the hard way. That's what coveting does. It causes us to want more. Coveting is a lust that motivates to war. We need the proper attitude and frame of mind behind the obedience of Christ and his word. Those who are driven by lust will fail to bring their desires under control. There it is. And in reality, folks, you're unhappy. You're unhappy because you want more. Why did he get that position? Why is he the quarterback? Why didn't I get picked? That's coveting. I'm sorry, but it's a form of coveting. It's wrong. Be happy with where you're at. God's going to do stuff in your life. I've been waiting for more than 12 years for my family to get saved. There's some coming. There's some here. You know why? Because I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I don't stop praying for them every day. There's some sitting here right now, and I'm smiling because they're here, and I see God's power. They know who they are. God speaks to them too. And he's speaking to the rest of my family. They're fighting God. My two teenage daughters are fighting God right now. They're hating us as parents. And we're smiling through our house. Yeah. What's up? They walk by. Good morning. We're going. We'll be back later. Bye. Start praying. Believe. Pray. Coveting will get you, man. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. What's the next text, please? There's his Psalms. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God. That's where a lot of people are. Even Christians, because of coveting. Look at the other Psalms, 94:11. The Lord knows the people's thoughts. He knows they're worthless. Hello? My plans for my money that I sold for my pickup were, guess what, worthless. God had other plans and I messed it up. But he'll forgive. He'll straighten it out. He'll make it right. Amen? When we're dealing with people, the Ten Commandments tells us how to apply our thoughts. Philippians 2:5. Is that the next scripture? There it is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How do you deal with other people and the struggles of coveting or wanting more or wanting other things you're looking at? There it is. Have the mind of Christ. I've said in the beginning. Get into His Word. Study it. Come to these women's Bible studies, men's Bible studies. Ask questions. I love the questionnaire. I can't wait for next Sunday. Because all this week, I'm going to be looking through all kinds of your questions you've sent before, looking for Scripture, and also praying. Because we want the Holy Spirit to lead, to answer what you don't know yet. Because we're all growing. None of us up here are there yet. We're never there yet. We're growing every day together. We're a body. We're a church. We're a congregation that needs to stick together and work together. And you're called to call the other half that's going to fit over here somewhere in two more years. Amen? You have more relatives. You have more friends that don't know Jesus. Tell them. I've told my boss, and he's a righteous boss. Doesn't know God, but he's always like this. Pretty strong, firm, hard man, young boss. But very righteous. I respect that about him. He's very fair all the way across the board. Doesn't favor workers. Doesn't favor positions. He sees what they're worth through the value of the work they put out. The Bible says, God says, I will bless those at work. What does He do to the lazy? He doesn't bless them. Young people, if you're lazy, be careful. You're going to be having beans and rice in Jesus Christ. I know I did for many years. Because I was stubborn. I didn't want to listen to my parents. And there was times there wasn't beans or rice. Not even water, the park bench. Looking for cups to sip from, picking up cigarette butts. Some of you don't know my testimony. I haven't got really deep into it. I lived in the park, in the streets, in a car. People's houses. I had 5 homes at one point. All different people. They weren't even my home. I just called them home. It's rough because I coveted it. I always coveted it. I struggled with that. But God heals it. God can change it. Let Him get in there. Let Him work in you. Read His Word. Share your personal things with your loved ones, a friend. Confess it. And it'll be gone. Trust me, it'll be gone. If you're transparent as a Christian, you'll walk a little bit at ease. You'll be able to sleep. You'll get better grades. You will get uplifted in your company. God will open doors that you never thought you'd have open to you. There's nothing God can do. But don't covet your way through it. Because you will have problems. You're going to hit walls. You're going to hit situations that are not going to be very nice. We need to have the mind of Christ. Perfect we're not. We're sinners saved by His grace. Romans 12:2. Is that up there? Which one's next? Let's go to the next one. How to overcome coveting. Go to the next slide, please. Here it is. Only through the Spirit of God and His mercy and grace. That's the only way you're going to conquer the coveting. That's the only way I get through every day not to look at other people's stuff and want it, because I need to remember Scripture. I need to remember what I'm learning and growing and sharing. Because up here, if I was coveting, I would have no effect through the speaking of God's Word to the congregation. There'll be no effect. It'd be all coveting because I want to be up here seen and heard by people. That's wrong. God will not bless that. But I know God is moving in this church because it's growing. It's growing faster than we know. Amen? You guys you have no clue how big this church is going to get. It's going to get bigger, folks. But we say it every morning, we need your help. We need workers. I cry every day to God. Lord, bring workers to Remnant, God. Jesus said, ask the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is plenty, but where's the workers? That's kind of part of what God laid in my heart I shared with Victor this morning. You're called. At whatever level, you're called to help in your church. But first get the coveting, apply God's word. Get the coveting dealt with, and He'll use you. There's something in your life, in your heart right now, God wants to do through you. Be it at your church first. It starts here, then He'll use you at home, at your work. He'll start blessing you left and right, and you're going to know it's God. You're going to see it's God, because He's shown miracle after miracle. My wife is still alive, amen? Amen. His power is seen through her. I see it every day. She gets up smiling, wanting to drink coffee with me every morning. Man, I see His power. He's awesome, and I want to be faithful. I don't want to covet. Seek God. Ask Him what He wants of you. And also ask Him, take that coveting away, Lord. I don't want to desire those things. I need the needs, not the desires, God. Because He's going to give you the word, God says, when you start doing what He wants, the desires of your heart. I've always desired to play in a band and play the drums as loud as I want. I could never attain that, but it came 2 years ago. They let me play as loud as I want, and I'm sorry I play loud. That's how I play. But I've been in other churches, and I had to kind of, and I respect that. I respect that. There's different settings for different churches, but I'm home. I love Remnant. I love you guys. And I would love for you to speak with God every day. Ask him to seek and search your heart. Amen? Let him work in you. Let him work in you. Tell him, I want the mind of Christ. Protect me from the enemy. I want to serve you, God. What do you want me to do for Remnant? I dare you. I challenge you. I love what Jerry Jett says all the time. I double dog dare you. Ask God what he wants from you at Remnant. And just keep your eyes open and keep praying. He's going to move. But he wants to work in us, in this congregation. He wants this place to explode. There's going to be revival and lives change, or families brought. Whatever they're going through, things can change. But we need to be dealt with first as a church, as a congregation, together, praying in unity. And God will do it. He'll bring that loved one you're praying for. He'll make that situation change in your life. I've been paying child support, I've told this one a few times, for over 20 years. Over $20,000, and guess what? I got the other day in the mail. I'm done. And it was God. And he squeezed it out of me, because for the past 20 years, my check was half gone, half gone, half gone. Beans and rice in Jesus Christ. I smiled all the way through it. But look, after 20 years of God help me with this child support, I want to be faithful and pay every penny. He helped me to do that. And now, Lord willing, in the future, we're going to hopefully stick our head out of the ground. Maybe take my wife to In-N-Out. Well, we'll start the hamburger stand. It's cheaper. There's nothing God can do, folks. If you're struggling with coveting, it's not okay, but it's okay. You know what I mean? Because he can handle it. I had a coveting heart. And at times, I do want things I shouldn't. But I pray and ask him to forgive me. The Bible says, do not let me look at worthless things, oh God. It's that easy. Just ask him that. Amen? I'm skipping a lot of parts. Next scripture. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, folks. This is for all of us here. I'm almost done. It's an obligation. There it is. God is telling us. But it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. That means spiritually. You're not going to just die. No. Well, maybe. I don't know. Only God knows. I hope you don't. I hope I don't, Lord. You will die. But if you live by the Spirit, there it is. The Spirit, that's gone. You put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. All of you in this room, if you say, Jesus, come into my heart, I'm a sinner, save me, change my life, you're right there at the bottom of that last line. You're a son and a daughter of the living God. You're a joint heir, you're an ambassador, you're a God's tool. Believe it, live it. You're a vessel he wants to use, and he is using at times you don't even know. It happens to me at work. Frank, why don't you cuss? You're always smiling. They tell you stuff. Work's bogging down on you. You got 10 trucks waiting out there, and you're smiling. Jesus! It's the first thing I say is Jesus, folks. I tell them, bro, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's all. The first thing that comes. I don't even have to stop and think, wait a minute. Is it me or? No, it's Jesus. Every knee shall bow, the Bible says, at the name of Jesus. His name means so much. I can't wait till we get into our next series that we've been talking about, because there's so much I want to share on the name of Jesus. He can do anything. He can heal anything at his time, divine time. I had a cousin, have a cousin. She lives in Oxnard. She's in her late 20s. Some years ago, she won the lotto. Won over $2 million. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember, roughly. I have witnesses here, so if you think I'm lying, you can ask my sister and my brother-in-law. They're sitting right there. She won the lotto. She bought a lot of people back in her life, sad to say. Form of coveting. Because she was kind of neglected, raised by one of my uncles. So she hit the lotto. Long story short, guess how long that money lasted her? Maybe a year? Less than a year? Oh, gosh. They're giving me like the baseball signals over here, my sister. Less than a year. Her money was gone. I rode with a guy that always played scratchers and bought me one. And at one point I did. I said, no, I stopped riding with him. My wife didn't know this, but that's why I stopped riding with him. I wanted to start buying scratchers. And he would always tell me, Frank, I don't have money, but here, I'm buying. Let's go to McDonald's and get a coffee. He's always bending his money. I would tell him, bro, save your money. Don't buy the scratchers. We'll drink coffee at work. No, he had to have his coffee from McDonald's and his four scratchers. But he's struggling financially. Go figure. He doesn't know Christ. I've been witnessing. We flew all the way back east. And on the way back on the plane, I gave him the salvation plan. He said, no, I'm not ready. I don't know if you're saved here tonight. This morning, forgive me. I work a lot. I get home at night. It's always night for me. If you're not saved here tonight, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to ask him in your heart. He can change your life. He'll change your life. Cristo te cambia tu vida para vida eterna. There's someone here tonight, this morning, that probably not understanding me. I'll say it in Spanish. Si no conoces a Cristo como tu Salvador, recíbelo en tu corazón esta mañana y Él te da vida eterna y cambiarán situaciones en tu vida. That's for you in Spanish, whoever you are. I don't know. I've never done this. Never done this. My wife's here's a witness. I've seen it happen in the church. I just had to throw it out there. But coveting is sin. It's going to trap you. Many Americans are in debt with credit cards. I'm going to say what I said earlier. My wife's witness. She had like 10, 15 cards, credit cards as Christians. And we're in debt and we didn't care. We were buying, spending, and then we just got in debt. And little by little, she started cutting them up because scripture was coming to life. And a lot of it had to do with coveting. You got to cut some things out of our lives, folks. I know there's a lot of things we want, wish we had. But don't covet. Can the worship team come up? I'm just going to stop there. It says don't covet. Straight up, easy, plain, and simple. So this morning, if you're struggling with coveting, if you've been wanting things you shouldn't have, or know you shouldn't have, just give it to the Lord. Give it to God this morning. He wants to do something in your life. He's doing something in my life. He's doing something through what my wife's illness is going through in our lives. Always see it that God is doing something. Don't see it as a wall, but look at it as a barrier that God has knocked down for you to walk through. Life is going to always be challenging. It's never going to be easy. But if you work in this area and you apply what God's word says in these commandments and scripture, he will do it. He is faithful. God doesn't lie. He sticks to his word. He told the sun to come up in the east and go down in the west. Have you ever seen it come from north or south? His word, once he speaks it, he spoke you here to remnant. He called you by your name. He wants to do big, great things in your life. But we need to put the coveting aside, the greeting, the lusting. Give them your heart. Give them your life. Give it to Jesus. Amen.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You filled out.